faithfully support us for several years until we were able to get on our feet and be able to support ourselves. What an encouragement. God's used him to build a great church at a great college. He preaches all across the nation, and what a blessing he's been. We're so honored to have him tonight and tomorrow night. So tonight, we'll hear him, and then we'll hear him at the banquet. And let's give our friend a warm Pacific Baptist welcome as he comes to preach for us.
Be seated, please. Y'all be seated. That's enough. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. It's a joy to be here with Brother Esposito, wonderful man of God that's been used of the Lord in a marvelous way in this place. It's absolutely a joy to be here. Wonderful crowd on a Wednesday night. I love your weather. I will trade you any day of the week coming out of Chicago. It was actually, I just finished a camp meeting down in southern Illinois and on Monday and Tuesday. And Monday it rained so hard on a vinyl tent, you couldn't even hear yourself think. And it was just an amazing deluge. And we sang for 50 minutes, preaching, but so the rain subsided, never did. I got to preaching, it quit. It quit immediately. What about that? So at least we got some preaching done that night. And but it's a joy to be here. God bless you. Thank you so much for the invite. Boy, I want to challenge you, and I know this is not the first time that you've had banquets and concerning the building, but what an exciting time in your life. I really mean that. I hope that I'm not coming here getting more excited about what you're about to do than you're excited about what you're about to do. We've gone through this, folks. We've done this. We've done this, you know, been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt and sold it at a garage sale. But I'm telling you right now, we've done this. I mean, we moved 32 miles from our present location, or our location that we were meeting in. 32 miles did we move, and built a huge 45,000 square foot building, and a big, huge auditorium, et cetera, and gym, and all the Sunday school spaces and all of it. We've done this, and boy, what an exciting time in the life of church. Listen to me carefully now. I'm going to tell you what all the old preachers told me, and even Dr. Howes told me, and it was true. He said that a church that will not go through a building program will never grow in that area. So all we were doing, renting and et cetera, and buying, just buying an existing building. He said, but when you build, your church will grow in a way that you've never grown before. Amen. Number two, it'll sure reveal what you got spiritually. It really will. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being factual with you tonight. It'll show you where you really are. You know, Jesus said, you draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. It's easy to give lip service to Jesus Christ. It takes real money to build a building. Not lip service, real money. So it's just pretty obvious, and I'm pretty blunt, always have been. It's pretty obvious that what's needed to do this building right now is finances, and we understand that. And I want to say this, that all of us can be involved in it. The thing about building a building of this magnitude is that we all can't pitch in and buy this thing outright because we just don't have that kind of money. But all of us have some every week that we can give. What I have found out with my folks, and by the way, we've been in Vision Unlimited for years and years, since the 80s, believe it or not. And I was telling the preacher, I'm not saying this to brag, I'm telling you that it happens. It happens to many of our people. When we started in the 80s, I started giving $100 a week, and I wouldn't make it but a couple hundred dollars then, but $100 a week to the building fund. Then I jacked it up to $125 over the next 3 years, and the next 3 years, $150. And since then, I've been giving $200 a week, I'm thinking for the last 12 or 15 years. $200 a week to the building. Now listen to me carefully. That's $800 a month. That's a house note in most places, a home. That's a mortgage payment. Now listen to me carefully. I don't miss that money because it's been something that I've wanted to do for the Lord. And most of us around our place give somewhere between 40 and 50% of our income to the Lord, back to the Lord's work. But that's something I want to do, and now I don't miss that money because it's always going out. It's like a bill. And I want all of you to understand that every one of you can be involved in this, and it may not be a top dollar, but it can be something If you have something to eat, you have something to give. And boy, what a wonderful and worthy project. I just prayed in your preacher's office, and it's true. He's not doing this to be known. He's not doing this for show. He's doing it to reach more souls for Jesus Christ. You, Long Beach is still going to hell. I don't care what you've done. You understand that? Long Beach is going to hell. If you can't amen that, I wonder what you're doing now. Long Beach is still going to hell. And until we reach all the people, at least get the gospel to them, we're still running short. Now, it's pretty obvious you got a problem. A good problem, though, isn't it? You folks out there, y'all seeing me on the... If y'all don't behave out there, I'm going to see you. I promise you I can see through walls. And got a whole group outside out of the windows. That's a good problem to have, but it is a problem. It's a problem. Those poor people, look, they're like redheaded stepchildren. They're outside. I mean, we won't even let them in the building. You folks out there start tithing, we'll let you in, all right? And give the building fund, we'll really let you in. In fact, you start giving the building. If you give $200 a week, we'll let you sit on the front seat here. But think about how wonderful this is. It's wonderful to be a part of a church that's growing to the point where you're busting at the seam. That is a great, great problem to have. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. You need to stare at that building right there. That can be a reality. Of course, I know it will be a reality. But what's going to be... Listen, the Lord has laid this vision on your preacher's heart. I promise you that God wants that building. But he works through his people. And so you can have that too. That's part of you. And it's not going to be built by big givers. It's going to be built by all of us giving. And if we could all do our part, it could happen. It has happened. I've done these type things across the country, all across the country. Some of the biggest auditoriums in the country have been built by these type programs, and they're filling up with people today. And what you're trying to do is reach more people to Christ. I wouldn't have anything to do with this building program if I didn't feel that your preacher had a great burden to reach more people for Christ. And what a great opportunity you have to be a part of this. It's a growth that you'll never, ever sense outside building this building. Now, let me just warn you, and then I'll preach a little while. When this building is done, and I can see it now, I know you have a vision, but I can already see it. I'm already standing in the pulpit looking at what you built. I really do. I can see that far ahead. When that thing is built and you're in it and you walk in the first, on dedication Sunday, it's going to be so different. Y'all listen to me now. It's so different. You're in this round ceiling kind of, and brother, when you amen, brother, you can hear it. When you sing, you can hear it. When you get in there, boy, you understand this? I'm saying, whatever your amen is now is going to have to be, because you got a lot of square footage. Listen, y'all better hear me. A lot of cubic feet to fill, because you got these high ceilings. Y'all listen, please listen to me. I promise you, if not, you're going to think this whole spirit of this church has changed. You're going to have to sing louder. You're going to have to amen louder. You're going to have to shout louder. It's just going to be that way. And you fill those cubic, and all of a sudden you're saying, man, it's a wonderful place. I can see the preacher now. He's going to try to get used to it. He's used to this. This is like his kitchen sink. It really is like a woman at a kitchen sink. He's got this thing down. This is his pulpit, his platform. But all of a sudden he's on this new platform. And he's got to get used to it. And he's got to get used to the pulpit, got used to all of it. Run around doing cartwheels, whatever he does when he preaches. He's got to get used to it, and he will. And all of a sudden, you folks will get settled in that place. It'll be exciting. You'll have grand opening Sunday. You'll have visitors come from everywhere. A lot of people getting saved and baptized that day. Son, that's exciting. You understand that? That's exciting. And all of a sudden, man, you see the vision, and boy, you go after it. But man, listen, don't you dare. Don't you dare let the spirit die. You got a good spirit in this place, and you got to carry it over there. But if you're going to carry it over there, you got to understand you're going to change this environment right here to something much bigger. And you have a lot of square, listen, a lot of cubic feet to fill with noise. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand that? If you don't do that, you're going to think that just the whole thing was bad. And it's not bad. It's good. You just got to make sure that the spirit, you carry the same spirit you have here into that building. Mark chapter 12 in your Bibles, please. Preacher, thank you for the opportunity to be in Long Beach. Let's stand, please. Stretch your legs one more time. I'll read a few scriptures, and then I'll preach a little while, and we'll go to the house. Look in verse 41, if you would, please. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Do you see that? I've been praying, Brother Koo. Brother Koo, thank you for being here with you folks. I love y'all and miss y'all very much. If your church is going to ever do anything, they'll have to get this vision too. They're going to have to grow and give and see some things happen. I want you to see this verse. Here's the Lord standing and sitting against the treasury, and he's watching what's going on. And look what it says now. And many that were rich cast in, say it with me, much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called and said unto him, his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Look at verse 44, please, if you would. For all they did cast in of their, say it with me, abundance. But she of her want did cast in, say it with me, all that she had, even all her living. And so I want you to see in the passage we just read, you have rich guys giving much and abundant. Then you have a widow woman giving just a small amount, but all that she had. I want to speak a little while tonight, and it'll involve everybody in this room. It'll hit all of us somewhere because we fit in one of these two categories. I want to speak a little while on abundant and sacrificial giving. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless tonight. As we think about abundant and sacrificial giving, we understand that God is pleased with both. I pray that you would bless and help and speak to our hearts. I came this far, Lord, to try to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I love this preacher and thank God for the good work that he's done in this place. God, thank you for using him. I pray, Lord, that you'd use his people to fulfill the dreams that you've set laid on his heart. And I pray that Long Beach would have a greater impact, or this church would have a greater impact on Long Beach. I pray that you'd bless tonight. I pray that you would undergird for us. Pray that you'd sharpen our weary mind tonight. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. The grace of giving is foreign to the depravity of man. The carnal man looks at a ways to get out of giving. The spiritual man looks for a way and means to give. He rejoices in every penny that can be put in the hands of God Almighty. And we understand that the spiritual man here has no problem with money. There's something about giving that reveals the spirituality of an individual. John Bunyan wrote, "There was a man, some called him mad, the more he gave, the more he had." We are not giving, listen, we're not giving coveting our gifts. The Bible says we're to give cheerfully. Are y'all listening to me now? Cheerfully. Do you understand, preacher, that the offering time should be the greatest time and the most exciting time of the entire church service? Now, if that book is right, that's what it says. A cheerful giver. We should rejoice to give. And yet, during the offering time, it seems like we've been slapped away from the breakfast table. It's true. The offering plate passes, we drop our offering in, and we almost cry waving at it as it passes by. Are y'all listening to me now? It's supposed to be a cheerful time. Let me ask you a question. Why do you shout when a preacher says something good scripturally, but you will not shout when you get to worship God by putting something in an offering plate? Do you understand that what's happening right now is not worship? I'm telling you how to worship. I'm trying to instruct you how to worship God by giving. Do you understand that worship is giving? Worship is singing. Worship is giving in the offering. That ought to be the most exciting time of any church's life, and the most exciting time of a church service should be the offering. When that offering plate passes, y'all ought to be shouting the victory. Isn't it funny? You got to go to a camp meeting to learn some of that stuff, but I learned a long time ago because I have a Bible. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It ought to be the happiest time of the whole service. And we're not to give coveting our gifts. See, it's not a gift if we still believe it's ours. Y'all listen to me now. If you're not careful, you're going to give and say, let me tell you what I gave that Pacific Baptist Church. It is not yours. Once you give it, it's not yours anymore, or it's not a gift at all. If you try to covet that gift, it is not a gift at all. I want you to look at verse 44, if you would, please. It says, for all they did cast in of their abundance. I want you to see verse 41. It said, the rich cast in much. Do you see those two verses? Now, I want to say this. First of all, abundant giving is expected of those God has blessed abundantly. Can I get an amen right there? Abundant giving is expected from those that God has blessed abundantly. The Lord is pleased with abundant giving. I want you to see this in verse 41 again. They cast in much. Now, people, I know the preachers preach this, and I have preached this. We always shame those old boys, and we brag on the widow. Let's just go ahead and take the King James infallible, immutable, inspired Bible that we have, and let's look at it. I don't see him shaming them anywhere. Anybody here sees whether he's shaming them anywhere? I don't see him shaming them anywhere. Are you listening to me now? I don't believe the Lord was rebuking them in verse 44. He was just teaching what abundant giving versus sacrificial giving was. That's all he was doing. God is angry with anyone who makes money their God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the Bible says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he has sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God despises people, or angry with people that makes money their God. And this generation, money's our God. It really is. You know, someone said, there was a day when folks said that that pigs would fly when there'd be a black man in the White House. And after 100 days, swine flu. All right. Anyway. And all of a sudden, our money is going, and all of our everything to print, but all of the economy and the stimulus package, and people are nervous to death. You know why? Because our money's our God. I have a man in my church, a millionaire. I'm about to bury him. He's about to die on us, but I'm telling you the truth. The man was so nervous. He lost $200,000 in this last situation. I understand that's a lot of money, but bless God, I told him, I said, if all you were trusting is your 401k, you are trusting the wrong person. Now, folks, you listen to me. I have great compassion on him, but I'm telling you right now that if we make our money our God, we're in trouble. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, for unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Right. Now, folks, listen, this financial stuff, I ain't going to rip, snort, and preach on. I'm just going to give you some facts about this matter. When God gives you much, he expects much. When he gives you what you, and this is why this church is going to answer to God Almighty for Long Beach, California. Don't you point over town at First Baptist. Don't you point over here at Brother Coos Church. You point at yourself. This church, if you don't have that burden, if you don't have that vision, this church is going to go nowhere. You got to have that vision that God, we're going to answer to God. So, because God has given you so much. Do you understand? I remember when the man came here. Right. He carved this thing out. Man. God began to bless in a marvelous way. Amen. And here you are today. Many of you would have been going to hell if it hadn't been for God raising up a man to come to Long Beach, California and start this work. Amen. Don't you understand and what God has given you here? A beautiful place, beautiful facilities. And about to give you that, and you don't think that much given, much required? Do you understand there's various and sundry people in this room, and I understand that? But when God gives you abundantly, he expects you to give abundantly. Zacchaeus gave abundantly after his conversion. He gave back fourfold, the Bible says, of those he had cheated, and he gave one half of the goods to the poor. Think about that for a minute. He gave back fourfold that those that he cheated. Then he took half of his entire wealth and gave to the poor. Much given, much required. Sometimes man's giving equals his dedication. And we need to understand that. How's your giving today? Listen, if you were accused of being a Christian, I wonder if we could pull the financial records of this church and that their financial records would prove you guilty. Prove me herewith, saith my... That's what he says. Prove me herewith, saith my... If I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there's not room enough to receive it. I had somebody tell me that some preacher taught the other day that it had to do with when you give, God would open windows where you can see in spiritual truths that you've never seen before. God help us. Do you understand that the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible? And if you'll take the Bible at what it is, it'll interpret some of that for you. I don't know why I'm thinking that the windows of heaven are open and pouring out a blessing that you cannot receive it is the same windows that were open in the flood when God covered this world with water, where the earth was not willing or could sustain the water. Are y'all with me now? Do you know that we have Christians who will live and die and never experience that right there? We have Christians who will live and die and tithe only and never move in the New Testament Christian giving. They will never experience what this preacher was privileged to experience because I had some preachers that preached this stuff to me, and at least I had enough faith to step out on that thing and see if it really was true. And I have tried to outgive God Almighty. It's just impossible. You know what's really sad, preacher? When you start that New Testament church giving, I'm talking about not Old Testament law. I'm not talking about just the tithe and offering. I'm talking about that New Testament as God has prospered you. You start that stuff, all of a sudden you have stuff chasing you that you gave up. You're going to have so much stuff chasing you. Are y'all listening to me now? You can't take stuff with you. When you die, you're done. No U-Hauls behind hearses. But could I say this to you? That if you do this New Testament, you'll have so much stuff when you die, because God blesses it. And you know what God wants to do? He wants to give to you, and you channel that stuff out. That's what we're a channel, not a reservoir, folks. You're to pray it down and give it out. Pray it in. That's the way this cycle works. And I'm simply saying that you need to understand that sometimes a man's giving is equal to his dedication. John Wesley's salary was 50 pounds a year. He set aside 5 pounds for the Lord as a tithe. When his salary was then increased to 100 pounds, he still lived on 45 pounds as previous and gave the Lord the extra 55 pounds. It seems to be that a biblical principle that the more one gives, the more one has to give. The reason some don't have a whole lot to give, preachers, because they never, ever practice this matter of New Testament church. It seems like they're holding on to it. You know, some get all they can all they get, sit on the can and poison the rest. I'm telling you right now, God Almighty wants us to continue the giving and that flow of giving where he can trust you with more. God honors abundant giving. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Okay? Y'all with? So here in the scriptures that we read, we see where the rich was giving out of their abundance. And they were giving much. And they were giving abundant. God never rebuked them. Then all of a sudden, he shifts. And now I want to talk a little bit about sacrificial giving. I talked about abundant giving, and there's some people in this room right now that can do that. The truth of the matter is, preacher, there's some folks in this room that can do that, that are doing that. There's some in this room that can do that or that are not doing that. They believe the bumper stick, the one who dies with the most toys wins. And that's just not true. You know, it's amazing that we're buying stuff that never satisfies. And we're buying stuff that's trying to impress people that don't even like us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know, somewhere, I think I read in the scripture somewhere one day that if we send it ahead, no moth, no rust corrupts it. And look at me, folks. Do you understand that we're heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that whatever God Almighty has promised the Son is mine also? Do you understand that if I'm going to inherit that and I'm an heir, I probably ought to invest in my future? Do you know what's not your future? This is not your home. Earth is not your future. Homes are not your future. Cars are not your future. And listen, man, I really mean this. If I'm going to go from point A to point B, I just soon go in style. I mean, I'm not saying anybody got to buy a Prius. Yeah, that's what I say. Lord help them. Or a Volkswagen. I preached in Mexico. They picked me up in a stinking little bug Volkswagen. You say, where'd you ride? On the top, you fool. I just held on. Said, go. A stinking bug, man. Are you kidding me? Now, folks, listen to me carefully, please. If I'm going to point A, point B, I just didn't go in style. Now, I own pickup trucks. They bought me some pickup trucks. I gave mine up, sold everything I had 35 years ago, and my men bought me a couple King Ranches. I got a couple twins. One was 1 year, one was another. I got a couple of them, and I love them. I have a problem when I got to step up out of a car, or I got to step down to sit in a car. See, a real man steps up in his seat and steps down out of his seat. Well, I just figured I'd teach you that. That's a good thing to do. I love my trucks, amen, right there. If you want one of them little underslump things, you go ahead. Now, please listen to me carefully. It's a wonderful thing when you give up all that stuff, Brother Joe, and God begins to give you all that stuff back. You see how God begins to deal in the lives of people. I want you to see the sacrificial giving, if you would please. The same passage that teaches abundant giving then teaches sacrificial giving. I want you to see it, please. This poor widow gave 2 mites, and she had no visible means of support. Look at me. The abundant givers were given much out of their abundance. This woman was giving what she had, and she had no more to give. There were no visible means of support. She could, you know, the rich could go back to whatever they were doing and make more money. She had nothing. Are y'all listening to me now? We know that she gave by faith. We know that. We understand that. We also know that she gave, listen, of her deficiency and not like their sufficiency. Yeah. Folks, listen to me. Listen. You got to get the picture. And most of the time we read the Bible and we think it's a white pages with black words on it. We got to enter into the story. Jesus was standing next to the treasury. Y'all have a problem with that? I mean, think about that for a minute. What if we took an offering tonight and I said, preacher, I want you to sit right there and we're going to watch everything that everybody gives tonight. Oh, yeah. You'd get offended. You'd get offended and go to Second Baptist Church. Yes, you would. Look at me. You would get offended. It's none of his business. What I do is between me and the Lord. Yeah, that's right. And he was standing right there against the treasury. Read it. When he says against it, he was right there watching everything that was going on, folks. And them old boys came in there, man, and they strutted in there, and they strutted this thing on. And they were strutting, and they would strut up there, boy, and they saw Jesus up there, and they strut up there, boy, and they just went. And I'm sure they'd make sure that he saw it. Y'all listen to me. The deacon board, the disciples were standing over here looking, said, look at that, look at that. Look at that dude's dress, man. Whoa. Man, that's a $700 suit if I ever saw a $700 suit. Look at that. That $400 sandals too. He was standing right against the tree. Don't you tell me them boys wasn't trying to impress Jesus, but he never said anything negative against them. They had nothing to be embarrassed of because they were given much. But that little widow woman, she was embarrassed. It's interesting to note, that this poor widow woman financed 2 sections of the Bible with her 2 mites. I don't read anywhere where those guys with the big money financed anything except what we just read. Are y'all listening to me now? Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21. She financed 2 portions of the Bible, sections of the Bible. Her act of love and sacrifice has been used for almost 2,000 years and have raised millions of dollars for buildings. Yeah. And missions. I want you to see verse 41 one more time. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. One could learn a lot about a person by observing the treasury. It is said there were 13 trumpets on the walls in the court. The Pharisees especially liked to blow these horns after they gave the treasury into the temple. They wanted everybody to know that they gave, see. And so we see Jesus sitting and watching what was given. Please listen to me now. The rich gave out of their abundance. He saw that. They wanted to make sure they impressed him. The deacons, the disciples over here, they were very impressed by the big givers, as most backsliders are. Now, I'm not being ugly when I say this, but why is it the folks that have much normally get the respect, and some of the folks that don't have a whole lot don't get equal respect? When the truth of the matter is, I know I'm ugly, you call me whatever you want, but isn't it amazing that sometimes the rich folks, percentage-wise, won't even come close to some of the blue-collar workers and what they give? I'm sorry to disrupt your Wednesday with the Bible, but I want you to look at it right now. It said they gave much out of their abundance. When that little girl came, she gave all. Percentage-wise, she gave a whole lot more than them. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Now, you listen to me and look at me. That little widow woman, Brother Joe, she was sitting back there, and I know what she was thinking. She's ragamuffin. She didn't have much to clothe on. She probably had a hood. She pulled that thing over just as tight as she could around her face and head. And she looked up there, and she loved the Lord just as much as they did. And she wanted to worship and give to him. And I can see her in the back, and maybe she was on the back 40 like those folks back yonder outside the building. And she wanted to come in, and she wanted to love the Lord and worship the Lord too. And I can see how she was, might have been just a little embarrassed, but maybe not. Maybe she struggled with it for a little while. And all of a sudden, she got her courage up, and she walked down the aisle to the treasury. Are y'all listening to me? Right. Jesus sat against treasury, and he saw those big boys and that little widow woman come in, kind of shuffling maybe. Did she make eye contact with him? I don't know. But she gave two mites. Do you understand when those mites hit the bottom of that offering plate, they've been ringing for 2,000 years?
Right.
Y'all listen to me now, please. Listen to me. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped the entire procession, and he began to teach. Look at verse 43. He then began to teach these backslidden disciples, as they were very impressed with the big givers. He said, there's something we can learn. He began to teach. Number one, I want you to understand this. Number one, she gave something. What are some of the observations of the little widow woman? You'll write this down. Number one, she gave something. Brethren, I love you tonight, but everybody in this room can give something. We didn't have the child faith promise missions giving right there, because we're not trying to teach the little ones to give. Everybody can give. If you've got something to eat, you have something to give. And I'm simply saying that she had something. She gave something. She wasn't going to sit there and let all the big money people get the glory. She wanted to worship. She had something to give. It wasn't much, but she gave something. Everybody here tomorrow night can give something. You can commit to something. Number two, quickly, she threw away her excuses as why she couldn't give. She could say, well, you know, those guys got a lot of money. They can give. I don't have anything. In fact, if I give these two mites, I don't know what I'm going to do. She threw away her excuses. If you have something to eat, folks, you have something to give. Number three, quickly, she did not revile God for her poverty. I'm shocked at how many people shaking their fists in the face of God because of their poverty. She didn't revile God for it. She used her poverty to bless God. Listen, folks, please get the message tonight. God, Jesus stopped the entire giving process to teach a lesson about this little widow woman. She didn't try to revile God because of her poverty. She wanted to bless God, and she in fact did. The philosophy of the early church was that the poor man should no more omit giving on the account of his poverty as an illiterate man should give up his praying because of his bad grammar. Number four, quickly. She did not wait for the future provision. If some of you in this room right now, if you're not careful, this is what you do. If God would give me, this is what I'd do. If God would give me thus and so, this is what I'd give him. If you're not giving God what you have now, you'll never give him if he ever gives you. I promise you there are folks, Lord, if you'd make me a millionaire, I'd pay for this building myself. But, you know, God is saying, well, I'm not going to make you a millionaire. I just made you a hundredaire, and you're not even giving me part of your hundredaire. Why would I think you'd make you a millionaire? Would you give that? Folks, listen, I've dealt with this for 35 stinking years. I know what I'm talking about. It is crazy. You got to start somewhere, and if you will give God your heart, you will give him your pocketbook.
Amen.
She didn't wait for future provisions. Some give out of what they have. Others give what they have. Number five, she gave in light of possible embarrassment. Folks, listen, she was looking and she saw what they were all given. Brother Joe, she didn't know what to do. She just knew, I want to do something in this offering. I want to give to the temple. I want to worship the Lord. And in spite of embarrassment, she gave anyway. She gave in faith, not in martyrdom. I'm shocked at how many, I've been in this a long time, folks. I'm shocked at how many people will give to the Lord's work and it seems like you're beating them to get it. She didn't give in martyrdom. She gave because she loved him in worship. I mean, folks, listen, I never talk about what could I do with all the money I've given the Lord's work. Folks, the truth of the matter is, if I really thought about it, I think it would scare me. I've been saved 35 years, folks. I promise you, I've been dedicated in this matter of giving. I had some great preachers taught me this principle very early. And my goodness, the things that I could have that never make anybody happy. Folks, listen, if things made you happy and money make you happy, Hollywood would be happy. They're not happy. She gave in faith, not in martyrdom. Number 7, she wanted to have a share in the giving. She wanted to be a part of it, participant, not a spectator. And folks, if I could tell you this, don't sit on the sideline tomorrow night. Don't sit there and just, listen, get involved. Get that weekly commitment. If you can do a cash offering, do that. But man, by all means, everybody, if you can't give a cash offering, everybody needs to do something weekly.
Yes.
Boy, if we all do that, you would be shocked. Do you understand? I played a lot of ball. I've got more football injuries than a man really needs. And I remember our coach taught us, he said, you know, if everybody does their job on the football field, that means you only have one man that's standing between the runner and the goal post. Now think about that for a minute. And a perfectly executed play is when everybody on that football team has done their job. And you know, if we can get everybody in the church to do exactly what God has laid on their heart in this matter of giving, you would be shocked what we could do. In fact, I think it would shock this church to the point where they really wouldn't believe it. This is what I believe would happen if everybody would be involved to some degree. I believe that some of you would believe that somebody gave a very, very large gift. And the truth of the matter is not true. It's just everybody got involved. Next, she guarded against covetousness. Do you understand that one doesn't have to be rich to guard against idolatry? Do you understand the biggest lotto players in the world are poor people? Because they want that money. I'm simply saying that you need to understand that she guarded against covetousness. She gave what she had. She did not give her offering to another in hope of return. I'm shocked how many people give, tithe, and give to the Lord. And this is what they do, preacher. They give and they go like this. I want to shock you tonight. I'll take the scripture and show you where God will be a debtor to no man. I can take the scripture and show you where when you give to God, God will give to you. You understand that, Luke 6:38, all those other verses, we can quote all those. But let me ask you a question. Is that why you give? Hey, folks, listen, this is a stewardship thing. I'm not going to use humor. I'm not going to jump off the platform. I'm asking you a question. Look at me. Do you actually give just to receive? I want to shock you tonight. I don't care who you are. You're supposed to give because it's right to give. Whether God ever gives you anything or not. Do you understand that all we deserve is hell? Anything outside of that is a plus and a blessing? Why in the world would you give and wanting God to give back to you when he doesn't owe you anything? He saved your wretched soul from hell. So the point I'm trying to make is, isn't it an unbelievable program that when you do give to God, God does give back to you? Unbelievable, but he doesn't have to. I believe those that he gives back to, Brother Joe, is those who really didn't have this attitude. They just have attitude of worship. I want to do this. And God gives them more, and they want to give more. Now, what are some of the sacrifices? What are some of the examples of these two abundant and sacrificial? Let me give them this. We'll go to the house. In Mark 14, you ought to write this down and study it later. Mary broke a box of precious ointment and poured it upon the head of Jesus Christ. You know the story. The ointment cost about a year's wages. Anybody here want to stand? Tell me what your wages are in a year. Can you imagine buying perfume with that would cost a little box 1 year of your salary? She took that and she broke it on the head of Christ, anointing him. Are y'all with me now? And this is what the Lord said. Please listen. She had done what she could. Jesus believed, and Jesus deserves the best. And she did what she could. She gave him the best. Are y'all listening to me? That's abundant giving. Would y'all say that's abundant giving? I think that's abundant giving when somebody gives an entire year's salary for something small, but to somebody that's so big. Here's the sacrificial. Listen to it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Folks, excuse me, that's New Testament. And if we could get that down and understand that, that if we could all get together and make all things common. By the way, this is not a form of communism. Communism says what is yours is mine. Y'all sensing some of that right now in the administration, aren't you? What's yours is mine. Christianity says what's mine is yours. Y'all got the difference? Now, folks, I'm through tonight. Listen. God wants both. God wants abundant giving, and God wants sacrificial giving. Do you understand that covered all of us in this room right now? There's some in this room right now. You're wonderful folks. God has blessed you with a business or with money, and you manage it well, you've given good to God, and God is blessing you in a wonderful way, and you can give abundantly. There are a lot of people in this room, and there might be some widow women in this room, retirees, fixed income folks in this room. They're as important to God Almighty as anybody in this room. The truth of the matter is God wants to use them just as much as anybody in this room. And I want to say this too. I don't speak for the preacher, but I think for God tonight, that he's as pleased with those people as anybody.
Amen.
I believe that it honors the Lord when somebody has a meager bit to give, and yet they want to worship and serve the Lord and actually give that.
Amen.
So God wants both. He wants abundant giving, and he wants sacrificial giving. I guess the things that bless me more than anything in my ministry, Brother Joe, is to know the people that you pastor. You know your people. I don't know these folks. They're as friendly and wonderful as any I've ever met. But I tell you what blesses me. I buried a millionaire a couple weeks ago. I'm about to bury my second millionaire in my church. They're good men, bus workers, bus captains, godly men, good givers, man. Lord, good givers. One of them just go around trying to find folks that needed something and just give them a wad of money just to go do what they have to do. I mean, needs, real needs, not just never wanted anybody to know anything or who gave anything. But I tell you what blesses me when I stand in my pulpit and I'm preaching on Sunday and I'm seeing a woman out here lost her husband quite a few years ago. She's dressed just wonderful. She's got a King James Bible on her lap. And I know she's trying to make ends meet. And she gives. When I see the mother whose no good lustful husband has left her with the children, and she's there, and I know that woman not only gives a tithe, listen, but she gives the faith promised mission. We support close to 300 missionaries across the world, missions and building funds. She gives in all three categories, and she's a single mother trying to raise her children. When I see that, that just turns my crank. When I see some of these ladies that are old, their husband's been dead for a long time, they're on Social Security, it's just tight, and I know they give good. When I see those type of people, that thrills my heart, because that individual is giving sacrificially.
Yes.
Where some of us, we're doing quite well. We're giving out of our abundance. Could I say this to you? God wants both. If this building's going to ever be built, and if y'all going to ever have victory in your life and in this church's life, and tomorrow night at that banquet, and one day be standing up. You know, I so much want to come back one day and drive down this road and see that thing standing right out there. That's a testimony for God and a testimony to you. Are y'all listening now? And I'm going to tell you what's going to get that done right there. It's not 10 millionaires. The truth of the matter is, it might not even be one millionaire. It's going to be all of us giving what we have and what God has laid upon our heart to give. It'll stand. I personally believe it's going to happen, but it's going to take both givers. Some at the top, some in the middle, and some at the bottom, but all giving what God laid on your heart. Let's stand our feet, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Abundant and sacrificial giving. God wants both. The sad part about banquets and giving sometimes is that some people have never really prayed about it, and that's why God has never laid a figure on your heart. Wouldn't it be great if, and I know many of you have, but wouldn't it be great tonight if you'd just come, and I know it's right on the eve of the banquet, but you just come during invitation time and say, Lord, please lay that definite figure on my heart, what you'd have me to do in this wonderful banquet offering. You ought to ask the Lord. He wants abundant and sacrificial giving. You can do one or the other. The choice is yours. Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. And amen. As we play softly, if you need to visit this altar, won't you come? Say, dear God, put that figure on my heart. Wouldn't it be great?